This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for tuning in today. On today's show, we're focusing on the housing market here in Newfoundland and Labrador. So if you're looking to buy or sell a home, should you hold off? Is it a buyer's market, a seller's market? Are home prices on the way up or on the way down? And with interest rates at the highest they've been in decades and so many struggling to keep up with the cost of living, there certainly is a lot to consider. So what does it mean for homeowners and prospective home buyers? If you're worried about home affordability and what higher rates mean, then this is the show for you. We're going to get into all that. And I've got Chris O'Leary, realtor with RE/MAX Realty Specialist, and Joan Flood, mortgage advisor with Premier Mortgage Center, here to talk about these things. So thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks for having us as usual.
Thanks, Nancy. Nice to be back.
Yeah, it's always great to have you guys on the show. You've always got some great insights for our listeners, you know, talking about, everything I just mentioned, right? Where the housing market is. And Joan, you've always got great advice with regards to what to consider with mortgages and rates and all that stuff. So we definitely have a lot to get to. But maybe before we jump right into that, I'll ask you each just maybe share a little bit about yourselves and what you're doing. So, Chris, I'll start with you.
I've been in real estate now for about 15 years. Hard to believe that quick. That's gone by so fast. I'm a member of the Real Estate RE/MAX Hall of Fame, and I live here in Paradise.
That's great. Thanks, Chris. And what about yourself, Joan?
Well, I've been in the mortgage industry now for 43 years. Started when I was 12, of course, but worked with one of the major top six banks for 30 years and moved into the broker space about 6 years ago now. Like Chris, I've been an award winner with both the bank and through my Premier days. I've been on many boards, the Homeowners Construction Association, the Real Estate Board, been very involved in all aspects of the industry for a long time.
Yeah, and that's why you guys are always so great to have on the show, right? You've got a lot of knowledge that you can share with our listeners, a lot of great advice. And certainly I know a lot of people are wondering right now, where is the housing market? Is it the right time to buy with interest rates the way that they are? Is it the right time to look at selling? So Chris, I'm going to start the discussion on this with you, and I refer back to the RE/MAX 2024 Housing Market Outlook for Newfoundland, and it suggests the market is balanced. So can you maybe explain for listeners what that means?
Well, a balanced market would assume that you'd have enough inventory that meets the demand there. So buyers and sellers equally have equal footing in the market. That's where they say we're heading that way. We're heading to a balanced market towards the end of 2024, according to the RE/MAX market review. And I believe we are going that route. That's where the market seems to be trending at this point.
It's interesting because I think, you know, of all over the years when we sort of do these updates, I think this is the first time where a balanced market has been the case. It's usually, you know, a buyer's market or a seller's market. So that's interesting to me. And I also reviewed the February MLS home sales in Newfoundland and Labrador, which was posted by the Canadian Real Estate Association. And there were a few standouts there. So let's talk about the sales for a bit. They're down 6.3% compared to the same month last year, and slightly lower, 1.5%, than the five-year average, but still well above the 10-year average of 19.7%. So maybe you can speak a little bit to these numbers, Chris, and the reason behind the slower sales.
Mm-hmm. Well, with regards back to the seller's market, we are still in the seller's market right now. I hope and think we're going to head towards a more balanced market towards the end of this year. And that will depend, of course, on what happens with interest rates and a number of other factors out there. But if you look back at why the sales are where they are, go back 4 years ago when COVID hit and what happened with the market at that time, we saw a really quick market. There's four different buyers that are in the market. You've got your first-time home buyers. You've got your expats that come back to Newfoundland. You've got your step-up market where the clients are have an existing home. They want to sell that to buy a bigger one. Or in this case, of course, your newcomers and your first-time home buyers. Those are the big buyers that are out there. Back in when COVID hit and then things started, the interest rates went down so low, all four of those buyers were active in the market. So we saw inventories being decimated. We dropped inventory at a really quick rate, and we haven't really rebounded from that since then. We've been in that market since then where we've had low inventory and still a demand out there. Now, 4 years later, what we're seeing is interest rates have obviously increased exponentially. So that first-time home buyer has been pushed out of the market, or at least not looking in the same type of inventory. They're heading towards more of a semi-attached or a two-apartment home because that's what's more affordable for them. They're looking at the two-apartment as a potential for helping them pay their mortgage. The step-up market has really slowed down as well because, of course, they've got to find a place to go to. So if they sell their home, where are they going to move? So that's kind of the other part of that market where we've kind of lost some of that that momentum, I guess is the word to use. So that leaves us with the newcomers, and I'm still seeing a lot of immigration, people coming to town. They are focusing on certain types of price ranges, but certainly they're there, and that plays a big part in the buyer market that we have out there now. And then the expats are still coming home. I'm still seeing that as well. We're still seeing people come from way back home to Newfoundland, and people moving to Newfoundland, like I said, immigration, that's never been to Newfoundland. So those are the two things that are driving where sales are right now. So we're living in a market where we have low inventory. Certain price ranges are certainly getting a lot more attention and still getting multiple bids and price wars out there. So that's the market we're living in. Certainly slowing the sales down because there's just no inventory to keep pushing sales up. We've seen a modest increase in price over the last number of years, and that's certainly because of the fact that we've had no inventory and still pressure out there, people buying houses. So that's kind of give you a synopsis of where we are. And, you know, 4 years later, we're still seeing a demand there for two apartments. We're still seeing a demand there for semi-attached homes because they meet that particular group, including first-time home buyers, because the price is lower. And then the two apartments, of course, as well, as we talked about earlier. So it is a changing market, though. It's quick. It's still moving, I think, heading towards a balanced market towards the end of this year. And that will depend, again, on interest rate and how we see things moving forward.
Well, I think, you know, you mentioned that we're seeing still some multiple offer situations, still some increases in the value in homes, right? They're continuing to increase, and maybe not at the same pace that we were seeing previously, but I think a gain is better than a loss, obviously, right? So with increased interest rates, you want to be able to sell your home for more because you're buying into that same market and you're going to be paying more in your mortgage. Mm-hmm. So just to look at some statistics, so in Newfoundland and Labrador, single family home benchmark price is $289,500, up 4.4%. Townhouse and row units, $291,700, up 15%. And apartment homes, $240,000, up 5%. Now, if we look in St. John specifically, as opposed to the province, single family homes are $339,200, which is up 3.1%. Townhouse row units, again, same price, $291,700, up 15%. And apartment, $239,600, so just slightly below, which is interesting to me, but up 5.2%. So as we head into the busiest time for real estate, I think, Chris, right, spring into summer, that's when people start really, you know, getting rid of, the snow and hopefully we're rid of the snow, but, you know, they're getting their gardens ready and trying to make their home show as well as possible. So do you see inventory picking up as we come into spring?
I'm seeing a few things out there that will impact the market. We're starting to see a little bit of spec homes, meaning builders building homes before they're sold. So they're putting homes out there to meet demands. But those homes are typically semi-attached, which is what we're seeing a 15% increase on. Semi-attached homes where they're priced a little bit lower than your single family homes. And then we're seeing a lot of builders shifting towards a two apartment home as well. So in this market moving forward, I think we're prices should maintain. I don't think we're seeing, we don't see the big increases like you see in some of the mainland bigger centers. We, like you see, we're seeing a small, modest increase, and our market is not as, it doesn't fluctuate like that. And we've been lucky enough, we maintain what we are as far as price range is concerned. We're still the cheapest, one of the cheapest places in Canada to buy a home. So that's attractive to every buyer out there.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, that's one of the good things about the Newfoundland housing market is it's not as volatile, right, as some of the other areas in the country, as you mentioned. I think high interest rates are definitely having an impact when it comes to the housing market. So we're going to hear from Joan on that when we come back. Please stay with us.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of Your Money with BDO's Nancy Snedden. Listen live Saturdays at 3 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada, right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. I'm joined today by Chris O'Leary. He's a realtor with REMAX Realty Specialists, and Joan Flood, mortgage advisor with Premier Mortgage Center. So we're talking about the real estate market here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And certainly, you know, as we come into springtime, it tends to be when you're seeing the market start to come up from, you know, the slowness that may exist during the winter. And just like the rest of the country, right now sales are a little slower than normal. And I think contributing factor to this is the higher interest rates. So Joan, what are you seeing? Like, what do you think the impact of these high rates are?
Well, it's definitely limiting people to what they think they can afford in a property. You know, when they come and sit in front of us as mortgage advisors and they have this dream home in mind, you know, and then the reality becomes that, you know, it's just too expensive for them. So I think people just need to adjust their expectations. And for me, it's go back to basics. I've been doing this a long time. And there was an era when you bought your starter home and you moved yourself up to the dream home. But society today seems to want the dream home right out of the gate. So I think it's just back to basics and buying the smaller, more affordable home. And then, of course, the interest rate, you know, is not going to impact your payment as significantly as the larger home. So I guess buy lower. There's lots of programs you can do with your mortgage when you're financing, even if you're buying an older home and it needs some renovations. We're seeing a lot more of that. And we can add funds into the mortgage to accommodate those upgrades of kitchens, bathrooms, roofs, you know, things that an older home may require. So I think just a step back and a different look at the market in what's available in inventory and buy your starter home. Do a little bit of work on it, ride it out for 3 or 5 years, and then do your move up to the next level of homes. And that certainly will, you know, take a different look at what your mortgage payment is going to be like. Rates, yes, rates are up from where they were 3 and 4 years ago. No question about it. Don't think we're getting back there. All indications from what we're seeing right now, we're riding just below 5% for people that are, you know, buying owner-occupied residences. So that's the good news story. But if you look back historically, you know, a 5% interest rate is a great interest rate. I think society over the last 4 or 5 years, we're just so used to seeing 1.89s and 2% that for a lot of the millennials and that generation, that's the norm. But you kind of just got to do a little bit of more homework on it and realize that those things were driven by a lot of world events that, please God, we'll never see again, and that we're kind of back to a normal rate environment is the way that we measure it and try to talk about it. And we can't go backwards in anything in life, so we can't talk about what was 3 years ago, or we can't predict where the rates are going to be. We have to take the rates today, and we have to make them fit the individual situation that they're looking for today, and at least they're getting into home ownership of some sort.
No, absolutely. And that's the thing to focus on, right? And making sure that, you know, you understand what the interest rate means for what you're looking or what you're able to purchase, I guess, in today's market. But also planning for, you know, if interest rates don't come down or if, in fact, interest rates went up again, making sure that you're actually going to be able to, you know, afford that mortgage payment if it becomes higher in the future, right? All those things are important. And I think that's one of the silver linings in the way rates rates did go up over the last couple of years is that it showed people what could happen, so that maybe now they're going to be able to think about that and plan for it better should it happen in the future. So, Chris, when you're talking to potential clients or people who are looking into getting into the market, are you hearing them talk a lot about interest rates and the impact that that'll have on their ability to purchase a home?
Yeah, no question about it. I think the step-up market certainly is stagnated a little bit because of higher interest rates. It's hard for them to look at getting into a bigger home when their interest rate is going to be higher on that new piece, even if they can port a portion of that mortgage. And Joan can certainly talk to porting and all that stuff. The first-time home buyers, I'm seeing a big change in, because of course they've got the stress test that negates them or takes them out of a lot of the market that's out there, and that's why I'm seeing so much pressure on two apartments. We're seeing multiple bids, price wars, homes going certainly like a spec home that a builder's putting up a picture only, and we're talking eight, 9 months out before it's built, and it's getting sold before it even there's even a foundation put in the ground. With regards to semi-attached, I'm seeing a lot of those, a lot more pressure as well, because of course they're on a lower price range as well. So first-time buyers are out there after those, and certainly the price under $300,000 is still seeing. If you put a home in the market right now, I've listed every home I've listed this year so far. I've only had one without multiple bids.
Wow.
And a good few of those were under $300,000. And I'm seeing a lot of people, newcomers, bidding on those. I'm seeing lots of first-time home buyers trying to get those as well. So it's a really tough market in that price range. So I know they're trying to adjust their price range based on their purchasing power. But with the low inventory, it's still a tough market for them, really tough market out there. So hopefully by the end of this year, with interest rates potentially coming down, and as Joan said, with everything else that's going on out there, it should settle down, and I'm hoping we'll get through to a more balanced market towards the end of this year, and we'll allow all four of these type of buyers to jump back into the market in a positive way.
Yeah, I know everyone is looking forward to the Bank of Canada announcing a rate cut. And the next rate decision is scheduled for Wednesday, April 10th. However, it's highly anticipated that the key lending rate will remain unchanged. So economists predict it will be mid-year, likely July, before we start to see a reduction in the key lending rate. And I think worth pointing out, the Bank of Canada has been clear that the era of low rates is over. So to your point, Joan, we're likely not going to get back to where we are. We may see things come down a little, but this is kind of the new normal. So I think with that in mind, do you think the hesitance of potential buyers is going to continue? Like, are people really going to wait and see and sort of not get into the housing market until they see where rates may land by the end of the year?
I still think they're out there. I still think they're looking. I've got a number of buyers right now who are looking for a particular type of property because of low inventory. They're not finding it. And again, they're having to pay more than they want to pay. So I think higher interest rates will certainly help them get off the fence, I guess is the word to use. But for now, I see in the foreseeable future, until we get more inventory, and maybe just a small indication that we're going to have interest rates start to come down, I think this market will really start to take off again. That's what I see happening here. So there's a lot that we don't have control over. But at the end of the day, like you said earlier, I mean, 5% is still a really attractive interest rate compared to the years past. So I think they're just going to adjust right. Accordingly.
And that's what it's about, right? It's adjusting to the new normal. And if you're looking to get into a home, this likely is going to be the interest rate, you know, plus or minus a quarter or half a point, I would think, for the foreseeable future. So I think important, though, we talked a lot about first-time home buyers, right, and what they're looking for and the importance of, you know, fitting something into your budget and not looking for the dream home right out of the gate. And I think, Joan, it's important to remind people that there are a number of programs available to help first-time home buyers, such as the RRSP Home Buyers Plan, the First-Time Home Buyer Tax Credit, and the GST-HST New Housing Rebate. So maybe, Joan, you can speak a little bit about these incentives and how they're there to help first-time home buyers.
Absolutely, Nancy. There are several programs and available for first-time home buyers. And the quick, easy thing is just to visit, you know, the CRA site. Just Google first-time home buyer incentives, and they will all flow into you. But the main ones are the RRSP Home Buyer buyer's plan, so you can save money into your RRSP. And as a first time home buyer, you can withdraw from your RRSP up to $35,000 an individual. So if there's both of you on the mortgage, then of course that's up to $70,000 that you could use from your RRSP. And the withdrawal at that point is not taxable income if you're doing it under the first time home buyers program. You can build or buy a new home using your RRSP home buyers plan. You do have to pay the money back, but it's intended to be paid back into your RRSP over a 15-year period. So it's a lot of flexibility there, and that's the quick answer on that one. There's also some home buyers tax credits available. So if you're buying or purchasing a qualifying home, then you can get up to $10,000 if all borrowers meet the conditions as first-time home buyers. And the typical definition of a first-time home buyer for these programs with Revenue Canada is that you haven't owned a home in the preceding year or in the last 4 years that you've occupied as your principal residence. Now, there's some gray areas to that. If there was marriage breakups, that sort of thing, then there's some areas there where you may be able to go back in and use your RRSP a second time as a down payment. And if you're purchasing a home and you have you're a person with a qualifying disability, you may be able to reuse those programs or just use them under the home buyers plan as well. There was a new initiative started last year, the First Home Savings Account. So this is just a savings account. It's kind of a cross between your RRSP home buyers plan and a tax-free savings account, if you will. But it does also allow accumulation in this that is a registered plan, allows you to save for a qualifying home. It's tax-free, so you're not taxed on the money. It's like having a tax-free savings account that you can protect some additional savings into. Again, you have to be a first-time buyer. It has to be your primary residence. You have maximum contribution limits of up to $8,000 a year. You can't accumulate more than $40,000 in there. So there's a whole list of qualifying factors. Again, I encourage you just to look them up. But you can use the first home savings account and the RRSP home buyers plan together. So there, you can put the two of those together to come up with a larger down payment if you need it. There's also some GST, HST new housing rebates. So if you're purchasing a new or substantially renovated home, these GST, HST rebates may apply to you. Again, all the criteria is on the CRA site. It's just too much to list for sure. There was another program that the government, federal government, was running, First Time Home Buyers Incentive Program. It was a shared equity program. That program is gone. It ended March the 21st, so that is no longer available. There's also some first-time home buyers plans that are available provincially through Newfoundland Labrador Housing that allow people to apply for funds to help and assist with their down payments. And of course, this isn't a home buyers incentive, but new to Canada Canadians, which we are experiencing a lot of these wonderful people coming into our communities. And a lot of the lenders, and it's sanctioned by government, it's sanctioned by the mortgage insurers. We have some fabulous programs to assist new Canadians that basically can help us qualify new Canadians with less credit history, with less job history, those sort of things. So they still have to have a down payment. But again, there's programs, if they're, you know, Canadian citizens and have their PR status, they may qualify for some of these programs as well. But there's some big exceptions made on typical policies to allow for new Canadians to be able to buy homes. So there's certainly a lot of programs, a lot of information, and it's just a lot of stuff there to research if you're a first-time home buyer or if you're a repeat buyer and new to Canada.
Yeah, no, I think that's great information, Joan. I think the main thing is like being aware that these programs exist, doing your research, ask your broker about what might be out there that might help you, right, when you're having the meeting on what you might be able to afford when you're looking to be pre-approved. So let's talk about pre-approval in the next segment. I also want to talk about the stress test, because I think the mortgage stress test is actually creating quite a bit of stress for people out there right now. So we're going to talk about that as well when we come back. Please stay with us.
Saturday morning, join us for the Irish Newfoundland Show. Send your request to irishnl@vocm.com or submit them online at vocm.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Sneddon, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada, right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. My guests today are Chris O'Leary. He's a realtor with REMAX Realty Specialist, and Joan Flood, mortgage advisor with Premier Mortgage Center. So we're talking about the real estate market. We're talking about, you know, interest rates and the importance of looking for programs that can help with first-time home buying and those types of things to make sure you're really getting the biggest bang for your buck. You're able to get into the home that you're looking for. And I think, you know, we talked a little bit, Joan, in the first segment, or I mentioned at the end of the second segment, sorry, that it's important to look for pre-approval. We always talk about that. But I think now more than ever, because of where interest rates are, and especially if you're a first-time home buyer going through a stress test, it's really important to understand what you can afford. So not only what you're approved for, but what fits into your budget. So knowing that before you actually start talking to Chris about looking for a home, I think is more important than ever. Would you agree?
100%. And anybody that has heard me on your shows in the past, I preach pre-approval. It's always the very important first step in home buying. So anyone that's heard us before, like I said, hear us talk about this all the time. It sets you up to buy your perfect home in your perfect price point. Definitely will avoid disappointment. You could go out there and look at 20 houses with Chris, find your dream home, and then you come see your mortgage professional and you find out that you either can't qualify for it, or the numbers are just too unreal for you and you just can't afford it within your budget. The pre-approval will save you time in not looking at properties that are out of your range, which again, like I said, disappointment, it's such a huge factor in this whole process. It just takes the wind out of your sails and just takes you right off of your game if you can't get that house that you thought you wanted. Oftentimes with the pre-approval process, interest rates can be held, especially in a rate in rising environment. That's important to make sure that your rate is locked in for you. In a lowering rate environment, which we're in today, that's not as important, but it's still a conversation that you can have. And what I'm seeing a lot with my clients these days, it gives them a competitive edge to be able to go to their realtor and say, here, I have a pre-approval letter, I've been checked out, I'm good to go. I've seen offers accepted for clients in competitive situations because they've had that pre-approval in their hand at the time that they're writing their offer. So it's been a great advantage, I find, in that regard. And pre-approval is also, I guess, subjective. Some people call me and they say, well, I went online on a calculator, I got pre-approved with bank ABCD, what can you do for me? They're not pre-approved. It's not a true pre-approval unless you've talked to a human being, in my professional opinion. They've checked your credit, they've checked your job information, they've checked that you have sufficient funds for your down payment and your closing costs. So until those things are actually checked and verified, you do not have a true pre-approval. There's a lot of steps involved, and just merely telling somebody what you make annually and what your car payment is not a true pre-approval. You need to get all of the information and all of the facts before you go house hunting.
No, I think that's super important. And I know, Chris, you're a big fan of pre-approval as well, right? So you know what your clients can afford going in. But to Joan's point there, I mean, you mentioned in the last segment that you're getting multiple offers for many homes. So certainly if it's a multiple offer situation and you have a pre-approval letter, that's going to put you ahead of someone who doesn't, right?
No question about it. If you are in a multiple bid situation for the price, you're more than one bid on the go. And if I see a finance letter that comes across my desk, and I know it's from a reputable company, and that these people have, you know, I've asked the agent specifically, have they seen a banker? Have they seen someone in person and actually did the T4s and did the full follow-through when it comes to getting pre-approved? I'm telling that to my client, my vendor. I'm saying, look, there's three bids in front of you. They're all very similar in price. This one here has a pre-approval in place, and I'm going to show them the letter. And any smart agent out there would send their offer with the pre-approval letter, and that will play into the conversation and certainly will sway the vendor with regards to who they're going to, what offer they're going to take. I prefer not to go out and show any homes at all unless I know for sure that this person has either seen someone I know, like Joan, with regards to pre-approval. It's just, there's no point. You're wasting your time. You're out there looking at a market that you really don't know if you can afford it. And then if you make an offer, you really have a short window of time, maybe 10 days, business days, to get a pre-approval, a letter provided to the other agent saying you are able to buy this property. So you're putting the bank, you're putting yourself under a lot of pressure, and it takes time to get that pre-approval. You need to get lots of paperwork for the bank and provide information that they're going to require to be able to give you that pre-approval. But it's certainly an advantage when you're talking about multiple bids. I can tell you that. It's critically important.
Absolutely. I mean, why would you want to risk losing the home that you want to put a bid on because you've not gotten your pre-approval, right? And that takes time, and you risk then losing the bid. So important, right, that you get that information up front. I think, Joan, something else important to talk about here is the mortgage stress test. I think it's creating a lot of stress for potential and current homeowners. So when it comes to the mortgage stress test, what advice can you share with listeners considering entering the real estate market?
It's properly named. It's become stressful for a lot of people. It's always been in place. I shouldn't say always. It's been in play for a long time. It's just when rates were so low, people didn't talk about it because it really didn't matter a whole lot or impact any approval. So what the stress test is basically is, the government, the federal legislative people have made us, what we have to do is we have to add 2% to the contract rate to qualify a person for a mortgage. So if your contract rate is 4.95% on your five-year term, then we have to qualify you at 7.95. So this is an insurance, of course, an assurance, not an insurance, that if rates do rise, the point of it is that you're prepared for that. So if you were qualified at the higher rate and you're getting a lower rate, then if interest rates increase along the way, by the time you have to renew your mortgage, you were in a safe space with the house that you purchased in the first place. So that's what we have to do with the stress test. So with the higher interest rates, of course, you're at 5%. Now you're qualifying at 7. When you're at 2, you're only qualifying at 4. So with your interest rates increasing, that 2% always goes on top of the rate we have to qualify you with. I guess the good news with the stress test, in a way, if you're renewing your current mortgage, then the current lender doesn't apply the stress test. It's merely a negotiation with you, what rate, what term, sign the paper, off you go. So if you're staying with your same lender, there's no stress test applied. There's been recently some changes made as well. If you're renewing your mortgage, but you are now switching lenders, you're not staying with your bank or mortgage provider because you didn't like their interest rate and you're moving lenders. If you currently have an insured type of mortgage, so that would be a property you bought originally with less than 20% down and you have mortgage default insurance on it. Some lenders now are allowing you to move the mortgage on renewal and they're qualifying on contract rate. They're not implying the stress test rate. So there's some good news stories in that for sure. But the stress test rate is still very applicable, especially to buyers and first-time home buyers.
Do you think, Joan, it's interesting you talk about like staying with your same bank versus, you know, moving around? Because oftentimes when we're looking at, you know, whether it's a new car or you're looking at a house or refinancing something as large as your mortgage, you know, the advice we normally have is it's best to shop around to get the best rate. With these changes in the stress test that you talked about, do you think that that's going to impact buyers' willingness to do that?
I think it will. And I guess from a lender perspective, I hope it will, you know, encourage them to ask the question. You don't ask, you don't get. So don't just assume that your bank is offering you a renewal rate, or any lender, not just the banks, are offering you a renewal and that's great, I better sign that and off I go. A lot of people shop around for car insurance every single year. So why wouldn't you ask the question and do your research on mortgage rates? And again, I'm also a true believer, it's not always about the best rate. It's about the best fit for you, your circumstances, your family, your budget. Different mortgages come with different options. They come with different prepayment privileges. They come with whether or not you can port your mortgage if you buy another property. So there's a whole bunch of things that go with mortgages. So it's important to look at those features as well when you're just switching your mortgage to another lender. Don't just do it because somebody offered you 10 basis points lower. You need to explore and make sure that the mortgage you're moving into is going to be a fit, just like the mortgage you originally obtained was a fit. So it's not always, in my mind, it's not always about the best rate. It's about the best solution.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more on that. There's so much to consider, which I think is why it's so important to talk to a mortgage broker like yourself versus just going and renewing with the bank that you've always been with, right? You don't know what you don't know. And talking to a professional to see what the options are, to see what the best fit for you with regards to your mortgage renewal is, I think is the right approach. So we have so much more to discuss with Chris and Joan. Buying and selling, there's so many things to keep in mind. There's lots of hidden costs in there that people aren't aware of. And we're going to get into those when we come back. Please stay with us.
Every Saturday is perfect for a night at the cabin. The Cabin Party with Brian O'Connell. Saturday night starting at 7 p.m. on VOCM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. My guests today are Chris O'Leary. He's a realtor with REMAX Realty Specialist, and Joan Flood, mortgage advisor with Premier Mortgage Center. So we're talking about the real estate market, of course, here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And Chris and Joan, you've shared some really valuable advice, I think, for our listeners. And I think many people know, and some don't, right, that buying and selling a home, although a huge financial undertaking, there's more than just the purchase price that you need to consider. And we talked about, you know, the interest rates and making sure that you understand, you know, the stress test and like all the things that come in to your ability to buy the home that you're looking for. But I think we always like to discuss when we do these shows as well. What are the additional costs, right, that you need to consider when you're coming to buy a home? So, Chris, maybe I'll start with you. What do buyers need to keep in mind? What are the extra costs associated with a home purchase that they may overlook or not consider?
Well, the first and biggest one is the legal fees, of course. You've got to register the mortgage. You've got to register the deed. The lawyer cost itself is not really high. It's when you add all those together, I think typically we've talked to 1.5% of the purchase price. It may be a bit lower than that, but it's in that range. So if you're buying a $400,000 home, you need to prepare for $5,000 to $6,000 cost as a buyer when you're buying a home. You got to buy house insurance, of course. There will be interest adjustments that you have to pay for a first mortgage payment. Other things that come up, like moving costs, your home inspection. I mean, I'm a big advocate of a home inspection if you're buying a home, especially first-time home buyers who are just not aware of what they should be looking for. It's $700 typically to do a home inspection. That's out of your pocket. You need to prepare for that. Moving costs, of course, we talked about that. Sometimes a survey, if a home is more than 3 or 4 years old, the lawyer will require a survey. In a lot of cases, the vendor will ask for 50-50. So a new survey can cost you $1,300, survey real property report. So it's another $650 that you may not be prepared for. But that's the big things when it comes to top up for oil and propane is another one that keeps coming up and surprises people. If you are buying a house with oil, for example, usually the vendor will fill up the oil furnace, the tank, I should say, and then you would purchase that amount that they put into the tank. Or propane is the same type of situation. So those are kind of things that surprise you. But other than that, that's the biggest part of it.
I was just going to add another big adjustment that we see with it's part of the legal fee. The lawyer does it all. But there is a property tax adjustment very oftentimes with the purchase, whereby the new buyer has to reimburse the current owner some property tax, and they may even have to allow for property tax credit for the future bill that's coming up in advance. So that's another big adjustment, or can be a big adjustment, that they see at the lawyer's office on closing that becomes part of their legal bill. So that could be also a big factor in the extra costs that people have to allow for.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, Joan, when it comes to mortgages, there's things to consider for both the buyer and the seller, right? So if you don't have a down payment of 20%, for example, you're going to have mortgage insurance. If you're looking at if you're selling your home and it's not at your normal sort of refinance period, you may have extra fees to pay for paying the mortgage off prematurely. So what can you tell listeners about those things?
Yeah, for sure. So while the mortgage insurance, the mortgage default insurance, while that is an expense or an additional cost, it's also not an out-of-pocket cost. So when you put your 5 or 10% down, anything less than 20% down payment typically will require the default mortgage insurance. And the premiums are calculated on a sliding scale based on 5, 10, 15% down payment. But those premiums are added into and become part of your mortgage and part of your borrowing cost. So while it's a true expense to you, it isn't an out-of-pocket expense, but it can be quite a substantial amount that's added back to your mortgage. Talked about the property tax adjustment, but if you're selling and you are, like you said, not at the end of your term, you could be looking at penalties on your current mortgage. Typical penalties with most lending institutions will be your 3-month interest penalty or an interest rate differential, depending on which is greater. And different institutions, whether it's a bank or a monoline lender, will do those interest calculations in different formulas. So again, it's something to consider. A lot of mortgages are portable, so you may be able to take that mortgage with you to a new property and avoid those penalties. So there's still a lot of conversation to be had, and very important to always talk to a human being and get all the proper information before buying or selling.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's some great advice. And if people take anything away, what you just said, Joan, is one of the best things that they can take away for sure. Well, we've got some time now for some final thoughts. It's been great having you guys on the show as always. Like I said, you always have great advice for our listeners. So, Chris, maybe I'll start with you. If you can leave our listeners with a final piece of advice today and maybe some contact information if they're looking to reach out to sell or to potentially buy a new home.
Definitely. The market right now, I think you have to be patient. I think we'll see some interest rates come down a little bit towards the middle of this year. I think that will give us a better opportunity to get into more of a balanced market. In the pre-approval portion of things, I think we talked about that earlier. We definitely need to have a pre-approval in place. Go talk to Joan. Go talk to an expert. Make sure you've got you're ready to go when you walk into a home. Let's not guess as to what it is you can purchase. And definitely sit down with a realtor. This is a quick moving inventory. There's not much inventory out there, so you need to know when a house goes on the market the day it goes on the market, or by the time you call the agent 3 or 4 days later, it's too late. So there's no charge for you to call me and have me search for you, and if we find the right house, I can get out that evening typically to get out there and show you that house right away, so you have an opportunity at least to bid on it. So I would certainly consider that. To reach me, best way to get me is through, you can certainly call me directly on my cell phone. Again, it's Chris O'Leary, 709-765-7093, or at coleary@remaxavalon.ca. And of course, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. You can find me on the website as well on Google. So I'm out there. Just call me if you need me.
That's great. Thanks so much, Chris. And Joan, final piece of advice for our listeners today.
Final thoughts for me. Work with a professional, realtor, mortgage advisor. Build your team. Explore all your options that are out there and find the mortgage that fits your family's needs. A mortgage is not a one-size-fits-all product. Biggest loan, biggest thing you'll ever do in your life is buy a house. It has to fit. It has to feel right. And of course, get pre-approved. Make sure you know what your limitations are, what your budget looks like, what your expenses look like. And a good mortgage professional should cover all these bases with you so there's no surprises at the end of the day. You can reach me at 709-682-9872 or joan.flood@premiermortgage.ca.
That's great. Thanks, Joan. That's some great advice. And I do recommend people reach out to Joan if they're looking to buy a home, and to Chris if they're looking to buy a home. These people are going to take good care of you. And to Joan's point, she's going to look at what you can fit in your budget, not just what your income pre-approves you for, which is super important because everyone's budget is different. So thanks again for you both joining me on the show today. And of course, I always want to hear from my listeners. If you have a comment or question or topic you'd like us to discuss here on Your Money, you can email me at yourmoney@bdo.ca or give me a call at 800-563-8337. Until next week, I'm Nancy Snedden. Stay safe and be well, everyone.
If you have a question or comment, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees on your VOCM.